through Michelle and let it speak to those people and teach us the things you want us to learn. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Tonight's going to be an easy night for your toes, I hope. An encouraging one.
That's nice.
Tonight is Thursday, August 29th, 2019. And I'm going to talk more about actions we can take while waiting on God. I'm still waiting on an air conditioner.
Oh, dear.
So... sometimes God is in the waiting. Isn't that a song or something?
Yeah.
But, you know, in this new season, the church and we individually, as we make up the church, absolutely must get out of the mindset that God will do things a certain way. You know, in fact, God probably works outside of how we think he will work more often than inside.
That's true.
So why then do we sometimes become so intent upon acting for the sake of doing something because we feel we need to, instead of truly seeking God and being obedient to his leading, even when it doesn't make sense in the world's terms? So, you know, I think of Meg's homeschooling, and I use this as an example a lot, I guess because it's an easy illustration, but, you know, how it totally didn't make sense. But now that we're getting to the other side, you know, it was just undeniably the right decision for her education. That doesn't mean that it's for everybody, but that means that it was right for her. And you know, God is an individual God, right? He's not a one-size-fits-all God. So he's going to deal with one person differently than he's going to deal with another person. So even the places where I thought Meg wasn't getting enough help in her schooling, and you know, even where she was beyond me, beyond stuff that I've taken, so I couldn't help. which is a very helpless feeling for a parent of a homeschooled student that you are responsible for schooling. But she's proving to be strong. And that's God, because God made the way for her, and he still is. So the truth is that, you know, when we are obedient to God's leading, even when he is calling us to wait, when it totally doesn't make sense to wait or to act in a way that doesn't make sense, like the homeschooling example of me homeschooling, you know, or my daughter being homeschooled while I work full time, you know, he has a plan and he has the solution, which is the more perfect solution. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 20. We're going to be there. Second Chronicles 20, beginning in verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazontamar," which is in Gedi. So there was a dire situation. dire situation. So there was not just one nation coming against Judah, but several, a great multitude, an overwhelmingly impossible number of people coming to battle against them. And this, you know, of course, is in the natural. So I don't know who else has been feeling this way lately. God usually has us teach on things that, you know, several people in here are you know, can relate to. But lately for us, it seems like it's been one thing after another. And, you know, I thought the situation was pretty bad. I thought we were in a dire situation. And then it got a whole lot worse.
Wow.
And we were already asking for prayer for it, right? Because, you know, we are seeking God and God's going to bring us through. And then, you know, okay, anyway. But, you know, something about the situation, the way it was, is that it was still within the realm of me being able to fix it. If I, you know, and so it's a whole different game when we are completely forced to rely upon God because we seemingly have no way out. When you think you can still fix it, possibly, that's different than there's no way I can do anything about all of this. You know, God, you're going to have to do it. And this is where I think, you know, Jehoshaphat and Judah were. They had no possible way of escape. Destruction seemed inevitable, and success seemed impossible. So going on to verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So this is an example of fasting for purpose, to seek God for a resolution and for direction. So actions in this verse was, one, he sought the Lord. Okay. Two, he fasted. So going on in verse 4, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So here's another action. Judah came into agreement in prayer. We know that Matthew 18:18 through 20 says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And we know that's spiritual warfare. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So we know that there is power in agreement in prayer, which is, of course, why we have a time for prayer at the end of our services, and we also have a Tuesday night prayer meeting. Agreement in prayer is agreement with each other in prayer, but it is also intercessory prayer, and it's also agreement with the Word of God in context, and also with the word of the Lord through the prophets. Going on in verse 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? What's interesting in my situation, and I'm sure, you know, God does this for you too, because this is part of God's character, is that, you know, he's been confirming over and over again to me that he's got my situation. And, you know, my thoughts will be going in a certain direction that they shouldn't be going in because I'm supposed to be trusting in God. And then something comes on the radio and the DJ says something right on point, or, you know, the right song comes on and it's just perfectly speaking the word that I need to hear right then. One day I was even thinking, you know, what am I going to do? Nothing is working out. You know, I feel I've got walls in every direction, which, you know, really, you know, to translate that is nothing I've done in my strength is working out. Because again, you know, we sometimes feel this obligation to do everything we can for ourselves, before God will help us. Or, you know, like the saying goes, God helps those that help themselves, which is completely inaccurate when God is calling us to wait or to do things a different way. So here I am worrying, and then I see this vehicle in traffic with a license plate in front of me that says, "Be still." So then I'm going, but God, you know, you see my situation. And no, the answer is, be still. So, number four is submit to God's leading. So, when God is confirming what he's been telling you, you know, we need to submit to it. So, another day, I got into my SUV and I turned on the Bible to listen to it, and the first thing it said when I was worrying again was, "Art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Then thou wilt hear and help. Ah, Lord God, art not thou God in heaven?" You know, what are these problems compared to what our God can do? Going on in verse 10. "And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us, to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit." So King Jehoshaphat reminded God of his promise of inheritance for the children of Israel. He knew that what God had promised, and then he came into agreement with that word in context in prayer. So number five is to know God's promises. Which then goes back to number three, and to be in agreement with them. Verse 12. "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. you know, this is an impossible situation. There's nothing we can do. So we look to you, you know, and you is our all of our expectations. Verse 13, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. Now, they sought the, he sought the Lord, he fasted, they came into agreement in, with each other and in prayer. They submitted to God's leading, and they know God's promises and came into agreement with them. Now here comes the prophetic direction. Verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. So, number six. Believe in God. And his prophets. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. So, number seven. Or it could have gone the other way. Six, seven. Praise and worship God. Psalm 34, 1-8 says, a psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth him, them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And guess what happened now when they began to praise God through their trial?
They got air conditioning. I'm sorry, go ahead.
At least it's cooling down or something. But going on to verse 22, And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. They didn't do anything, nothing, besides these things. God wants to fight for us. He is waiting for us to decide whether we are going to do things His way or our way. He may still bless us when we choose to work in our own strength because He's good. But there are blessings that come through seeking Him and submitting to His ways, even when they don't make sense to us. So going on in verse 25, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them an abundance, both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they can carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. So there was a blessing in it. You know, on the day that they could have been destroyed, they were instead greatly provided for.
Very good.
Sometimes we see our trials as a nuisance and as a bad thing that we have to endure because it's just part of life. But God uses those things to mature us in ways that give us new perspectives for His glory and our benefit. You know, this TV is probably an example of something that may have caused a little chaos for a time, and perhaps the changes to worship too. Because, you know, everyone seemed to have a different opinion about how things should go. But God has the ultimate opinion. And He takes facets into account that we don't know about and can't see because He's able to see in the future and we're not. But when we all submit our desires for how something should go to Him, and ask Him to bring our desires into alignment with His, He will. And the result will bring agreement instead of separation and offense or destruction. Going on in verse 26. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berakah unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets into the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So, God didn't just work awesome deliverances in Judah with Jehoshaphat. He also worked for Israel during the same time, even with King Ahab. And, you know, we know, too, that according to 2 Kings, that Jehoshaphat allied with Ahab and then with Jehoram as well, which isn't good. And that's a warning. Because God is never going to call us to compromise ourselves to do His will.
Right. Amen.
Jehoshaphat almost got himself killed, but because God is good, he protected him. So, you know, God is our deliverer, and we are called to be innocent of evil, not to participate with those who are operating contrary to the word of God without sincere repentance. So when trials and changes come our way, you know, are we going to seek God and submit to His ways with praise and worship? Or are we going to hold on to our ways and our pride, really? That's what it is. But there are blessings in submitting to God. And, you know, when I was writing this, God showed me, I'm sure everybody can relate, like, when you buy a gift for somebody, or make a gift for somebody, or prepare a very special gift for somebody who you just absolutely adore, you just love them, and you are just so excited, and you get this feeling in your stomach, like you're full of excitement, and you know, you're just so ready to give this gift to them. And that's where I believe God is with us. He has these gifts and blessings that he has for us, and he is just waiting for us to come to that table and partake of what he has for us. So that was shorter, but Lord, we just thank you for the way that you work for us, and that your desire is good for us, and that even through the difficult times, Lord, you're always there with us, and you're providing for us even then. And Lord, I thank you that you've been keeping it a little bit cooler, even though it's August, so that it hasn't been so hot in my house. And I just thank you for the provision that you have for us in every need that is represented here and in our family members. I thank you, Father God, that you know, we want to seek your face, and we want your will to be done. And we just ask you, Father God, to help us to lay down our will and our desires at your feet so that you can change them into yours. In Jesus' name.
Jesus. Question. When you were on the listening to the radio, were they playing the song "Give Me Money"?
Was it "Aching Breaking AC"?